poor, lonely Eleanor Rigby.
I need to try some other version of myself. We'll never get to where we were.
Where was that?
Someplace good.
I don't want to interfere with your life or whatever she has to do. But I can't just chalk this up to destiny. I walked on with my life because moving forward was the only way to go.
I guess people grieve differently.
These Lonely People came from a new provocative movie, actually three movies, about one relationship. That's actor James McAvoy as Connor Ludlow. Jessica Chastain plays Eleanor Rigby in The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, which also features Isabel Huppert and Bill Hurt. In three separate films, we see distinct versions of the same story of a young couple grappling with the loss of their child. The version called Him from the perspective of Connor, Her from the perspective of the grieving mom, Eleanor, and a third combined film, Them, piecing together their differing perspectives into a more traditional narrative. Actor James McAvoy sat down to talk about the new film and how the actors worked to establish two clear points of view.
We'd film the scene afresh each time. Using different camera angles, using different lighting techniques, using different script at times, and allowing the scene to become what it wants to be, rather than trying to make it different for the sake of it. But it has to be said, sometimes the differences are tiny and sometimes the differences are massive. It's the way you remember an argument with your loved one, and if you maintain you were right and they maintain they were right, and it's got to give somewhere. You can't both be right. And but also in terms of, we'd do a scene one way, maybe it would be a very sad scene, and the next time we did it, the next day, it wouldn't be that sad scene. It would be an angry scene, or it would be a funny scene, or it would be, and you just let it be what it was going to become. So it wasn't just a case of him re-editing footage that he had to sort of make it slightly different or anything. It was completely fresh footage each time.
It was amazing to me how the two characters, you and Jessica Chastain, really are surprising each other with some of the lines that you come out with. There's a sort of a sense of what's she going to do next, what's he going to do next. Was that really scripted, or was there a lot of spontaneity in the?
There's a lot of mix, really. Ned wrote a fantastic script, but you know, we were also investigating a connection between two people, and sometimes that connection would lead to other places, and Jessica and I are both quite open to improv as well, and Ned was really happy for, if he'd got it in the can, he wanted to see where else the relationship could go.
And I'd say you guys are, you know, competing for like the most intense actors on the planet in this film. Do you compete at all? Is him better than her?
I think, you know, even to... Yes, of course it is. But that's the good thing about it as well, is you get to go see them both and compare which is the best, and then ultimately agree that mine is. You can see all three. You can just see him and her in a double bill. You can see him on its own, or you can see her on its own, or you can see the triple bill, or you can just see them. And it's, there's something very contemporary about its distribution structure and the idea of these three films. It's all about choice, you know, and you can choose to see them in whichever order you went or you want.
You know, this is where film's going. You got Boyhood, which is a very ambitious kind of, you know, different form. This is a different form. You've got, you know, Under Her Skin. You know, that's a very different kind of film, really. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, no, I think it is. And I think much is made of the CGI stuff, but all the while, every year, we've got interesting things coming out that either push back boundaries narratively or push back taboo, or in terms of those two films that you mentioned in particular, push back just the structure of storytelling and in our case, the distribution of movies.
You know, this is all about a relationship. And, you know, unlike a movie that has a plot where X happens, then Y happens, then Z happens, this is really an immersion into a relationship. I would think that it would take over your life, just really maintaining the depth of this relationship as part of your acting. You know, you're saying lines, but you're also feeling all of this, it seems to me.
The film is very much about a couple trying to heal themselves as individuals and then hopefully find each other again afterwards. But it's fueled by their bereavement and by the tragedy and that they've suffered. And that runs through the whole thing. Even though we don't rest on the tragedy all the time, the whole thing is fueled by that tragedy, and that really was just behind every single line that I see in the film. That was something that was quite hard living with every day, and quite hard not to take home with you at the end of the day. But also, as much as it is about a relationship trying to heal itself or break up, arguably, it's a film about parenthood, but what happens to parents once the kid is gone as well, do you know what I mean? It's a film about trying to deal with the pain of adult love, and adult love is the adult love that you bear for your partner, but it's also adult love is towards children as well, do you know what I mean? And I think from Connor's point of view, she saw it as not necessarily failure, but just deep pain and deep loss. And there's no way to hide from it, and there's no way to forget it or unremember it, because you have the living DNA of your child in your other half, constantly being around you, reminding you of what they might have looked like and what they might have been. And so all you become is one half of a couple who lost a kid. And perhaps it's the idea of this movie is that in this particular couple, not in all cases, she had to heal herself before she could even think about healing a relationship. And that's not something that he's willing to accept. His reaction to the situation is completely different. His reaction is to try as hard as possible to forget. And he makes a really good fist of at least pretending that he has forgotten.
Just imagine how good this movie would have been if you'd gotten into your character at all.
No.
Yeah, it's you got way into it.
It was such an easy character to get into, though. It was weird. You know, it came very naturally. And I think that's partly because even though we spend a lot of time apart in the movie, it's about the relationship that we share, and it's about the absence of that relationship and the absence of that child. And she was such an open actor, Jessica, that we sort of we bonded on that relationship really early, and we bonded on the history of what happened to them really quickly, and we tried to share as much of the positive stuff and as much of the horrible stuff that happened to them. And we tried to realise it as fully as possible. So we sort of, on our first day, shared an incredible amount of baggage and incorporated stuff from our own lives as well. And so really, day two, we'd bared all in a lot of ways. And you were really able, therefore, to be vulnerable with each other and create, for what I think is a really tangible chemistry. And therefore, even when we're apart, the invisible line that connects two people is still taught.
Well, James, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Cheers for having me.
Great. Yeah, absolutely. James McAvoy stars in the new movie The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, opening in limited release today, going wide next weekend. And McAvoy, a true Scotsman through and through, also shared his impassioned thoughts on the upcoming vote for Scottish independence. He says the politics is clouding the debate, and it should be a matter of the heart.
Ireland fought, bled, and died for its independence. Do we fight and die for our independence now? No. We're talking about finance for independence. Now, do we want independence because we think we're going to be better off, or do we want independence because we just want it?
You can hear the rest of Glasgow native James McAvoy on The Takeaway Weekender. Just download our daily podcast, and every Saturday you'll get a special weekend edition of the show. If you want to catch up on that conversation or listen back to anything you've heard this week, check us out at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
PRI, Public Radio International.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.